97 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Dr. Bill says this rain's going to hang on throughout the week. More details on how much rain we're going to get coming up at around 8:35. It is a Tuesday, and we check in with Quinn Hillier from, oddly enough, QuinnHillier.com, and a good place for him. And, of course, the author of Mad Jones Heretic and the trilogy, available now on Amazon. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning.
So, Pete, you should, by what you told me, because I mean, we just came off of talking about lotto fever, right? People in the possible mathematical, theoretical ability to buy all the combinations of lotto tickets. Should somebody feel, with you're about to roll out, that they need to win the lotto now and then put it in gold and go hide in a mountaintop hermitage? Because you're going to tell us that the good times are coming to an end?
I'm saying that the sugar, economic sugar high is about to come to an end. Whether it turns into like a full-grown, you know, major recession or something, it depends on how we respond to it, but the economic crisis is starting, and again, it just matters how we respond to it.
Well, you know, you say it's based on what?
It's starting.
Based on what? Like, give me your indicators.
Okay. Well, 2 weeks ago, in 2 days, the stock market dropped 1,400 points. Since then, last week, it was barely above flat, and now yesterday it was down another 130 points, and the futures market this morning before the opening are down 400 points. This is October. This is black, the month of Black Thursday. Traditionally, it's very volatile, and all sorts of signs point to continuing instability in the markets.
Well, there's been, let me argue this because I watch it, there's been instability. There's been, I mean, believe me, it was, I think, January that I pulled most things out of equities when everybody, you know, when everybody's excited and happy. My contrarian nature has saved my backside a couple times, and I said, I'm out, but I missed a heck of a rally. And you see this even when the market goes down, then it'll come back up. I mean, yes, there have been down days, but then, you know, 2 days later, and I sit there scratching my head, I don't know what changed, but the market comes back up. And so for all that we're saying, I mean, first flight of people were saying that when Trump is elected, it's going to ruin the economy. In 2016, he's going to walk in, you know, as he's inaugurated, and the markets are going to tank all over. It has done the opposite.
Yeah, well, you didn't hear me saying the economy would tank, but I've been writing all year. I mean, you didn't hear me say that when Trump just got in, but I've been writing all year that we were going to have a big problem start in October. Well, guess what? It's October, and the big problem has started. The early year volatility I wasn't worried about. We had just passed the business tax cut, and I knew that that would, you know, carry us through for a good part of the year. So I wasn't worried about the volatility then. But right now what is happening is our massive uncontrolled debt levels, both private sector and, of course, government, are starting to catch up with us. At the same time, inflation is starting to grow, which means the Fed almost has to raise interest rates. But at the same time, foreign markets, and especially China, are being destabilized. And of course, even though we think China, you know, is a, you know, somehow predatory on us, the fact is that they also are a huge market for us. And if they can't buy our raw materials, that hurts us as well. So all of these things, especially the debt, are creating, you know, sort of a triple witching hour, and so right now we're in a very precarious position.
Well, okay, but if we could argue the other side here, even bull markets have bear periods, and you're right, October would be a month that brings that out, even in good markets, right? I mean, October is October.
October is October, and 1929, 1987, the two biggest ones when the market went crazy in October, of course, in 29, it caused the Great Depression. The question is, how do you respond to it? The problem here is we don't have sort of a safety net on the economy. The housing sales are down. Debt is at completely unheard of levels, record levels, not counting World War II, of course, but record levels, record peacetime levels of debt. We have student loan debt higher than ever before.
Well, that's been a story. But, I mean, you're talking about stories that I've been talking about for a decade, and it hasn't changed. I've been saying that the student loan bubble is coming. Wait. Student loan bubble's been coming for quite a while, and, you know, I've been Chicken Little on this. I've been saying that the whole way through the Obama administration. I've been saying it now, but nothing ever seems to come of it. I mean, I've gotten to the point where these indicators that you, and maybe we were taught in school to watch, the market has moved beyond that. It's post that.
No, it's not. This is what I'm trying to tell you. The difference here is that the public sector debt, the federal deficit and debt, are at astronomical levels in a good economy.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they only go up when the economy is bad, which means tax revenue drops off and social spending rises. Well, when the economy is down to 3.7% unemployment, then tax revenue should be way up and social spending should be down, so we should be close to a balanced budget. When we're instead nearly $1 trillion annual deficit, even in good times, that means there's no give in the economy. There's nothing where we can say, okay, well, let's spend our way out of it, because we don't have any more to spend, and so there's no safety net.
But we've been overspending for so long. I mean, once again, I go back to the, you don't, I mean, you're preaching to the choir, but as the choir, you know, I've heard the sermon so many times, and I'm a true believer, but then I don't see these metrics go out. I mean, the debt is one of the biggest things I've been focused on from Bush to Obama to now, and it seems to not.
Sean, this is what I'm saying. You've never had it like this while the economy is at full employment. That means that, to use the ordinary, which is the wrong, but the ordinary way of getting out of problems, which is to spin your way out, we can't do that, because we can't spend, you know, rather than having a $100 billion deficit and you do some kind of Obama-like stimulus, which didn't work anyway.
Keynesian economics, yeah. I mean, trying to feed money in. We did that with the quantitative easing.
Right, but you can't do okay, right now, the interest rates are already still near historic lows, and spending is at historic highs. So whereas before you could drop the interest rates to make up for a problem in the markets or a problem or recessionary problems in the economy, or you could do a lot of social spending to do it. Well, you can't do that when you're already doing all the social spending and the interest rates are already low.
But the interest rates have come up.
Dangerous, because again, there's no ordinary means of getting out of a problem if the problem starts, which means that investors, once things start snowballing, there's more likelihood of panic, because they say, what do we do now? We can't use our normal way out of it.
Well, you look at the fact that the interest rates have risen. They're not at but they have risen, correct?
Yes.
And the market is reacting to what they think it's going to come next, and it's higher interest rates, which, of course, we knew would happen, you know, with this economy. You see it, and the interest rates come up. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and honestly, I'm probably, as a textbook, I'm on your side. It's something I've argued for a long time, but I'm also one to say those things that I've said, okay, that's going to happen now, and that's going to happen now, they haven't happened in the past, and just saying that because the safety net is, there's not as much room in that safety net as before, then that means that people will blow the whole ship up. I don't know that they will. I mean, the markets may try to correct a little bit here, but do you think this is the start of a 2007?
It could very well be. And again, it depends on how we react to it, because right now, the debt is the cause of the of what I think is the start of a market correction. So if the debt is the cause, then by trying to add more debt, that's going to make it worse, not better.
Well, I understand your theory. I mean, I do understand the theory there, but also, I mean, there have been, you know, times that Wall Street and others have whistled right past the graveyard. We've done that too many times in the history of our republic.
That's what I keep trying to say. They've never done it when the annual deficits are already this high.
But
it's a totally different thing. The numbers are so totally out of whack right now in a way that they've never been before during full employment. Ever.
All right, let me ask the question here before we wrap up, because that'll be the first question I think most people would want to ask you. Are you just saying this because you hate Donald Trump?
No.
What Donald Trump would do, you would never give him a pass?
This was a problem caused jointly by 15 years of bad economic policy of Bush, Obama, and Trump, and especially Congress. And they really blew it this year when they passed this astronomical spending bill that, yes, Trump helped push through, but it's as much the fault of Mitch McConnell as it is of Donald Trump. And, of course, it's as much the fault of Obama as anybody, because he raised the baseline so high. So there's lots of blame to go around. What I'm saying is the difference is the way out of it, if it happens, like I think it's going to happen starting this week, if it happens, there's a different way out of it. And that's what I was really hoping to get to, but we've sort of run out of time.
I'll run to the break. I'll come back and give you time, because Lord knows I get accused that I'm shorting people on time all the time. So listen, this is an academic discussion, because as I think, in today's conservative media, where most of things are driven by social issues, I'm fiscal city. I'm with you. And I've been asking for this for 20 years, and I've just gotten to where I think, well, nobody cares, and the market seems to not care either. But we'll come back and we'll get more of this. Coming right up. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Kane with traffic, Dr. Bill with rain in our forecast this week. But it's all right, because the weekend looks fantastic. All right, a little more of our conversation here with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, also the author of Matt Jones' Heretic, available now at Amazon Trilogy. Get it for Christmas or whatever you choose to give it for. Maybe even people could give it out for like the biggest Halloween. That you could put it out there and say, okay, parents can get the trilogy, the kids can get the candy, something like that.
There you go.
All right, so tell us here. So if people didn't catch the conversation earlier, you've been looking at indicators, you've been looking at the fact that it is October, which is, of course, a traditional month for economies for markets to head way south, way fast, and you think it's coming now.
I think it's coming now, and it started earlier this month, and this week looks like an absolute market rout developing. We'll see if the futures markets borne out today, but they looked horrible overnight. What we need to do to respond is counterintuitive, but that's because this situation is different from previous ones. In previous situations, you could easily push down interest rates and, even though it was really the wrong move, hike social spending. Now, it's like if you've got some dread disease and you've already maxed out your medicine, and if you take any more of the same medicine, it will kill you. Well, any more of the deficit/debt/spending medicine will kill you in this case, because you're already maxed out. What the problem is, at least in terms of causing a possible panic, is this is a debt driven problem, so you can't solve it by adding more debt. Counterintuitively, the way to solve this is by fiscal responsibility. If this happens like I think, then during this lame duck session of Congress, they need to pass a budget reconciliation bill that absolutely calls for restricted spending, for cutting deficits, for getting debt under control, because that will take the pressure off the Fed and off the interest rate markets, that will allow interest rates naturally to fall without having to be pushed down by the Fed. That's the answer, is fiscal responsibility, not more spending.
Oh, well, listen, I've been asking for that for decades, and I was holding my breath, and then I ran out of air, so I started breathing again.
Never had this situation before. Anything you've said about decades doesn't matter, because in decades...
There's a little bit of Dorn Bush where they were... There's a little bit Dorn Bush where you had a situation that you were spending money, leveraging at the same time. You're running out of what I thought back then were the safety net, government safety nets. In other words, like Quinn's talking about, Keynesian economics, whether you're going to pump money into the economy or you're going to print yourself up some money, whatever you're going to do. And then we recovered from that, set a new beachhead.
When George Bush took office, we started with a balanced budget that had been created by the Gingrich Congress.
Yeah, and what happened?
So he was starting at a balanced budget.
What did he
there
do with
room,
it?
Room, even though I didn't agree with it, there was room for added spending.
And
now
look where it gets
already
you.
Starting way above what Bush ever spent. So you're not. That's the difference. You're not starting at zero. You're starting at an $870 billion annual deficit. And at total debt that is more than 100% of gross domestic product. It's the first time ever we've had total debt above government debt
above GDP.
Above 100%.
There it is. All right, Quinn, remind folks, too, they want to get in a conversation about this. What, Twitter probably best to do?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, because I'll probably be having a conniption fit all day as the markets drop.
There we go. Quinn Hillier, thank you for your time, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. We'll grab some calls here. A lot of people stacked up. And, you know, it's a weird position for me to be in, because the metrics of what he's talking about, I completely agree. I mean, it's, you know, I lament that the branding of conservatism a lot of times and the discussions all on the social side, where what I really like, if y'all can't tell, is talking about fiscal policy. But it's also, the football's been pulled away from me my whole life on that, because I'm waiting for opportunities where, and it's, by the way, who's to blame when Quinn said, we the people are to blame, because nobody wants to hear that we're going to pay more in taxes and get less in resources. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to elect that person.
No.
That is how you get to where we are now.
The truth hurts.
Now, and for when economies surge, that's when the money should be put back to service debt. But then you got to have money to keep the economy surging if you're on this kind of sugar high. What I'm getting at with Quinn is those metrics he's talked about, I agree, but they seem to not have been at play lately. Is it now? And does this happen? Can you have a big economic downturn when you have, you know, everybody who wants a job, you know, getting a job? I mean, you were talking about some of the Alabama numbers this morning. While they're not where the national average is for our state, it's been fantastic.
And pretty doggone good.
And the rest of the country looking good as well. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Greg in Orange Beach first. Hey, Greg.
Good morning, guys. You know, Quinn Hillier and other rhinos like him would love for this economy to crash. Here's my question. If it's so bad, how do you account for record jobs? Manufacturing coming back to this country, large companies coming back here to manufacture, more people have jobs, more people are paying taxes. You know, I don't get this gloom and doom like Quinn Hillier and a lot of Republicans who hate Trump, that they want to see this.
Right. At least, you know, I'll defend the fact that I'm going to look at it both ways, as I always try to do. I am a one-trick pony in the fact that I do not like the debt. I do not like our country carrying debt like we do. I just don't see anything. I'm very Rand Paul in those politics, because I don't think it's healthy. It's not healthy for the long term of a republic.
Well, I agree, and I think the debt is definitely going to be addressed. And I trust a businessman and a president with spine to reduce that debt more than anybody else.
Okay, and I hope you're right, Greg. I mean, I could make a flipping joke right now that you can't bankrupt out of this, but, I just did. All right, coming back to
2.1 million, Sean. 2.1 million people are working in the state of Alabama, according to the Alabama Department of Labor.
There we go. All right, coming right back, grab some calls after we check in with Dr. Bill and news from Westwood One.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton.
It's October still, which means everyone has a few days left to get over to McConnell Automotive and check out that great Oktoberfest sale you have going on.
Dalton, exactly, buddy. And you know what? These are literally the biggest discounts on GMCs we've given all year. And I think the advantage that we have compared to our competitors is we have more of these 18 models left, Dalton. So we started like with 55 Sierras. We have about 28 of them left. And we started with 41 Yukons, and I think we got 27 left. So they're going fast. But Dalton, I guess the biggest message is we're telling people, shop now before the end of the month, because these deals go away at the end of the month. And that's only through the end of October, buddy. And it's on everything we have on the lot. And people are loving these deals, and we're saving them huge money.
And on an overcast day like today, the website, not a bad place to visit.
No, buddy, exactly right. We make it really easy, McConnellAutomotive.com. And Dalton, we've been around since 1955. And the main thing we want to do is just take the stress out of car shopping. And we do that for folks every day, man. So we invite you to go shop there.
All right. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
Thanks, Dalton. Y'all be safe.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, let's grab some calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. And first up, Derek in Fairhope. Hey, Derek.
You know, I should get a chair right by Kelly at this point. You know, that's all I'm waiting on. Man, I've been preaching about this for a long time. You know, first off, whatever, you know, I was saying about what the, you know, government needs to do. Government doesn't need to do anything. It shouldn't have done anything in 2008.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just your, right now you're going to hear me in the back. I'm the person in the back of church going, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, if we would have let it do what it was supposed to do in 2008, we would actually be in a true recovery instead of this fake recovery we've had.
Mm-hmm.
Valuations have been out of the roof ever since. I mean, you can follow, everybody Google the Buffett rule, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a chart, and it tells you when things are overvalued and undervalued. The stock's only going up because of buybacks. And the really scary thing is you got a lot of corporate debt coming through as well. This has been brewing, and it just needs to fall. You know, unfortunately, there's going to be losers. Now, here's the key thing. The smart money has been out of the market for a long time. It's the retail, the ETFs, that have been boosting the market. It's been a pump and dump for God. Like,
and it's been
February,
and there were good small runs. I mean, I'm not one of the smart people, but I was out in January, except for some marijuana stock. But you know,
you really gonna do that to me? You really gonna do that to me? You know, yeah. So I mean, I'm gonna give Angelo, you know, a plug. You know, really, it get on, follow. You know, gold and silver has been going up. There's a reason. Governments have been buying gold and silver and dumping U.S. dollar for quite some time. This has been brewing. I'm not shocked. I've been waiting for it.
But, Derek, it's never let... Here's the thing. Whether it's... And I think there's a lot of people that will focus on this because of, you know, their dislike of Donald Trump, of President Trump. But at the same time, you and I think, watch the same thing. I just watched the numbers on it. And I thought it was going to be enough that there would be a cleansing... You know, in 08, but it's not. It's not. It gets popped up every time. And that was my argument to Quinn, that I agree with the metrics. I understand these things. But I've also been proven time and time again that I don't know what I'm talking about because they find a way to bail it out.
Well, yeah, because it's a punch bowl. You know, if you give helicopter money, then, yeah, things are going to do great because they're not paying anything for that money. And all this money they threw out at, like, I mean, negative interest rates, you know, for these notes and bonds and all of that. Well, yeah, all these companies did was buy their stock back. Home Depot did not do better business. All they did for their stock value to go up is they created a shortage of it. That's what everything is. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Amazon is really worth over $1,000 a share?
You know, I don't, you know, you look at the $1 billion valuation for the company, and I can see it in potential.
They're UPS. They just ship stuff.
Yeah.
That's it. They make a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Amazon does.
Yeah, they're starting, and they are, and they're, and believe me, I don't have the breakdown because I don't own any Amazon
What is an example?
Yeah, and I'm with you, and it's, you know, a lot of it is always on the come that, okay, well, you're buying it, it's worth this now because it's going to be worth this plus a little more later, but the problem is by the time you get to that later, Derek, it's worth that plus the new, you know, fudge factor in there. So I'm with you. You're always chasing the dragon. Yeah.
You are. Like, so you had, there was a thing that came out that if you were, you know, if you lost all your money in the crash of, you know, 29, it took you till 1954 to make that back. The 2000, you know, .com burst, those people had just got about half of their market value back in 2008. So it's dwindling, what is that called? Dwindling returns. It's not good. It's just not good.
All right. Well, I love you. Hey, man, I appreciate the call because, you know, you and I could bounce that around for quite a while. But, you know, I think there are two things going on here. And it's like everything where you won't be able to have a fair conversation because I mean, with what Quinn is rolling out, some of the metrics he watches and all that he was talking about, these are some of the things that had me. Listen, do not. I'm a talk show host, okay? I am no fiscal guru. You know, I don't even know how many F's are in Warren Buffett. But what I'm saying is that sometimes the company and what it's valued at don't make sense to me. When I can't understand things, I get out, and I missed a pretty good run this spring and summer, right, because mm-hmm. of that. But I do see things that worry me. That's like that's the numbers on the ledger sheet that worry me. The problem is there's a bunch of people that will jump in on this because they go, aha, we haven't been able to get them for Stormy Daniels or collusion or all these things, but we got them now because Donald Trump, President Trump, has talked about credited himself with the market going up. So he has put that handle on himself that his detractors will use to try to pull him back down.
But wasn't that why many people voted him into office? Because as a businessman, he's been so successful and the country wanted to turn around numbers.
And he has.
Right.
Now, he has delivered on promise after promise and delivered. But it's how you do it. To say that anybody's in complete control, I don't think it would. Back when he would credit himself with everything going on in the economy, I said, no. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some absolute things that he did to make business pick up. Absolutely. Donald Trump has delivered on that. But to say you're in control of everything that happens with the markets, number one, that's not true. You're a part of it, for sure, as the President of the United States, but that's not completely true. And number two, if you do it, though, you end up mm-hmm. being tied to it if it goes the other way, which I don't know that Quinn's prediction is right, because I've been thinking this was going to happen, you know, way back when, so...
Yeah, and I do remember when he was elected, everyone saying, or all of the Trump, anti-Trumpers mm-hmm. saying that the market would just crash.
Right,
but I still
away.
Think the three big reasons that he was elected, the Supreme Court justices, mm-hmm. which he's followed through on, the wall and immigration yeah. from Mexico,
right.
and also the debt. Those are the three things,
but
debt and trade. Those are the three that I yeah. remember being the big deal.
Well, but the debt has not been tackled. The debt is increasing. Quinn is accurate at that. The debt has not been... That has not been tackled. And it is the fault of we, the people, because we do not, you could not get elected by saying, right now, okay, President Trump right now should say, the economy, we got all these people going back to work, back, you know, let's say, let's go back a year, things are picking up, we're gonna start paying down debt. We're gonna start, the economy's picking up, and we're gonna reduce programs. We're gonna reduce these things and put more. Nobody wants to hear that.
Mm-mm.
Nobody wants to hear that. That's not good times.
But you've watched some of these debates. When people have said something that seems very logical, okay, the person that's standing across from them on the stage will just use that moment and say, well, I won't do that. That's where we are in this country. If someone has the absolute nerve and says, I have to raise taxes, these are the
right.
type of things that are coming down.
That person will never get elected.
No, because their opponent will say everything
less.
They say, I will be better and I won't make you suffer like
right.
that.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they get in office and nobody hears from them ever again.
But you know, you reduce taxes and you spur business. And we've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So that part you can do, but then you have to say, and while things are charging and doing well, we're going to have to spend less money. And then there'll be a whole group of people say, wait a second, you're bringing in more than before. Mm-hmm. So we have money for this program and this program and this program.
But no. I think you bring in a unique posture, if you will, because you're a small business owner.
Yeah.
And I think some people may forget that. And so that is why maybe you're bringing up numbers and different angles to the conversation that people would have never thought you'd go down that avenue.
Because I have to worry about what toner costs for the printer? Yeah, probably. Let's go to Jim in Fairhope next. Hey, Jim.
Hey, I'm not sure y'all want to go down this avenue, but, you know, the last time we paid down our debt was in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
So you say that the American people are, I agree with you, partly responsible for the debt, but I think most of the finger pointing needs to go to the Federal Reserve Bank. Because
yeah.
if you think about it, there is a separation between the U.S. Department of Treasury and Congress and the Federal Reserve Bank, because every piece of bill that we use to exchange to one another, it says Federal Reserve note.
Right.
On it. And in fact, that dollar used to be backed by gold.
Of course.
Until 1973. It's backed by absolutely nothing today. So Congress can overspend, and Treasury produces bonds that are sold in dollars to pay for that
sure.
overspend.
Oh, it's a three-card money game.
And the entity that produces those dollars is the Federal Reserve Bank.
Is the beneficiary of those. I agree with you, but here's the thing. Just like I said, you know, all the metrics Quinn was talking about, but I don't expect the outcome Quinn does, because I worry about things of the Federal Reserve. People want to talk about audit the Fed. We're not doing that. We don't have the time to do it in this show. We can do it another. But nothing ever comes of it, man. You know, nothing ever comes of it. All the discussion.
Well, when nobody buys our debt anymore other than the Federal Reserve Bank, there's got to be something that comes of it, because...
But you know what happens?
That's the best position we're in right now. In fact, China's selling treasuries. Everybody's selling what U.S. holdings they have in any kind of debt.
See, the people will pat me on the head, though, and I appreciate your call, Jim, but they'll pat me on the head when I say that, and they go, oh, listen, Sean, it's not going to happen that way, because where else would they invest their money? Where else are they? It's still the best investment. That doomsday scenario is not one that could really happen. All right, coming right back. This talk about money and debt this hour. Good time for me to introduce you to the folks over at Lightstream. Like most people, you got balance on your credit cards and a higher interest rate than you'd like. So here's what you do. Turn those balances into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate and start saving money. Yeah, that's how you do it with Lightstream. They offer credit card consolidation loans from 6.14% APR with autopay. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you can even get your money as soon as the day that you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. Plus, they're a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. So here's how it works, y'all. You can save even more money than you were with the 6.14% APR when you go to Lightstream.com. You'll get an additional interest rate discount on top of that already low rate. Only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name, S-U-L-L-I-V as in victory, A-N, and their website, LIGHTSTREAM.com/Sullivan. So Lightstream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, we can grab some phone calls here at 343-0106, 343-0106. And first up, we'll go to another Jim, this Jim in Mobile. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. So what's your take on this?
Well, one of the big bad words that hasn't been mentioned so far is inflation.
Oh, we did, yeah, at the beginning here. Inflation, is, I mean, we just were talking about it with the interest rates coming up, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's inevitable. I mean, real estate sales are down because there's no inventory. When there's no inventory, that's going to drive up prices.
Is the inventory
the
not there
out
because
of national debt is to inflate the dollar?
Right, but if there's not inventory,
that's a scary evil, in my
Jim,
opinion.
If there's not inventory, I mean, there's a couple, and I agree with you, but is it Why isn't there inventory? Is it that the builders aren't building? Is the buyer not there? You know, why? Because if there's a demand, there often is a supply coming to meet that demand, right?
Well, and there will be. You know, I mean, I don't agree with Quinn. I mean, I think we've got a number of years. I mean, you know, the building business has been in the tank for 10 years. Real estate prices have gone nowhere in 10 years. They're just starting to, you know, to inch up. And, you know, if you look back in the 70s, you know, I think we're repeating history that took place in the 70s. But I think it's going to be 5, 6, 7 years before we see, you know, really high interest rates. But what do you do? You know, you invest in real estate right now at low prices, low interest rates, and cash is going to be king down the road.
Yep, and you see us returning to those 1980s, what, 14-15% interest rates on mortgages?
I hope not, but I think it's possible because salaries are going to have to go up to, you know, for all this to work, and, you know, people start making more and more money, and, you know, it's all about the payment. You know,
yes.
It doesn't, you know, if I mean, you know,
yeah, I do know.
Think about people that had house payments that were $300.
Yeah.
Well, when you had an income of $15,000 a year, that was a big deal. If everybody starts making $300,000 a year, you know, a $3,000 a month payment with a 15% interest rate won't seem like such a big deal. So it's all relative.
I appreciate the call. Thank you. We'll see what happens. We'll watch the markets today. Of course, we'll be talking about this as we're on into the trading day at the beginning of Midday Mobile. We'll get into, you know, what the market has done. The fundamentals discussed here, I agree with the majority of the folks that have called. I mean, these are the things that I guess I have been beaten down by being like nobody cares for the longest time that I get to a point where I go, well, all these things that are I know to be true metrics of an economy seem to not be at play anymore, but maybe, you know, they will eventually show back up. And, you know, the worry is, where's the bailout mechanism? If you're a Keynesian economist and you believe the economy is driven by what the government does the government have any other tools in its chest here to be able to use? That's one of the bigger discussions that will be worked out amongst the traders today in New York. And they worked it out in Europe and China. The footsie's down today.
When you mess with people's pocketbooks, you have their attention.
Yes, that's for sure.
Especially when you have a sound conversation like you.
All right. Too kind. All right. Laura Ingraham is next.